Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The winner to organize the 2022 FIFA World Cup is Qatar.
The Qatar World Cup is finally here. But just what kind of place is hosting the biggest sporting event on the planet? I'm Kate Mason, and in September, I went to Doha to see things for myself.
It was the weirdest day of my life.
You said Qatar is doing everything it can. How do you quantify that? That's the sort of thing you can just say.
So basically they wanted to charge me under the Espionage Act.
I've spoken to female footballers in the country, the first Qatari man to come out as gay, residents in Doha whose future is uncertain, and the workers who helped build this World Cup, all to find out how it's changed people's lives there.
There's like so many like opportunities and stadiums for women to use, but like it's just that they don't want to because they can't.
And the big question is, what's going to happen after the World Cup? What's going to happen when that spotlight moves on?
Physical health, everybody know, but nobody knows the mental health.
This is Inside the Qatar World Cup, the Football Ramble's brand new three-part series. You can listen to all three episodes right now. Just search Football Ramble in your favourite podcast app.
Wakey, wakey, there's a public holiday in Saudi Arabia and a pretty momentous day in Manchester. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Wednesday, the 23rd of November. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm David Carlidge.
Welcome along, ladies and gentlemen, to Wednesday's Ramble. And what a day three we had in the World Cup. And to celebrate, myself and Pete have come in matching cardigans, baby. Did you not get the memo, David? What happened?
Gone beige,
you know. No brown cardigan.
Yeah. Maroon wool only, please.
Yeah. Nice cardi, Pete.
We all look quite odd, that's the main thing.
Yeah. Very true. What a day yesterday was. It was absolutely crazy from the start of the day with Argentina losing to Saudi Arabia until the end of the day with all of the crazy Manchester United news, which we will come on to. There is a hell of a lot for us to get stuck into, but let's start with probably one of the greatest shocks in World Cup history. Argentina won, Messi's Argentina won, Saudi Arabia 2. Incredible scenes.
It was immense. It was a proper World Cup moment. And it also feels like, you know, they always replay the Saudi goal from USA 94. It feels like they're now going to have a new moment. To replay it over and over. It was spectacular. And of course, the scenes in the crowd, I think the fact there were so many Saudis there, all the videos after, which we'll get onto in a minute, it just really felt proper and everything started. It was great.
Well, they made such a difference, didn't they, I guess, the crowd.
We finished yesterday, didn't we, Pete, by saying, oh, Messi scored.
Business as usual.
Yeah, expecting that, you know, he scores early on in the game. Argentina are obviously going to go on and win it. And wow, what a turnaround in the second half. Well, in the space of just the first 10 minutes of that second half. It was absolutely amazing.
The intensity of the Saudis throughout. Every time you thought, oh, they're going to tire out in a minute, they just got a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth wind. They just kept going again.
They can't keep this up.
They're going to be destroyed for the second game. I don't know how they're going
to
get out.
But it's a message to other teams who are kind of at Saudis and a little bit better sort of level. Like, set up a high line, go for it. Like, you're only there for three matches, you know, guaranteed. Fucking go for it. Yeah, have a fun.
You've got to take risks. Yeah. I think you have to. And look, there's so many teams will sit back against the bigger teams and they'll never truly test them. Mm. And there are weaknesses there. That Argentina defence was there to be got at. There's other big teams with defences to be got at as well. They all look a little bit shaky in certain areas and they really went for it.
Mm. Genuinely, do you think if they now don't score another goal, don't win another game at this World Cup, they won't give a shit anyway?
No, it's like we've
had our day.
As a Newcastle fan, getting the Roddy Radford goal repeated every time the FA Cup rolls around, you're going, well, you know, we beat you, don't you? Yeah, it's a moment they'll never forget, and the crowd were amazing, the scenes were amazing, and the videos online were obviously amazing. Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's actually a public holiday today in Saudi Arabia. That
incredible.
Is how big one football match's win has had on this nation. That is amazing.
I mean, you can do that with a monarchy, can't you? You couldn't do that here.
You can all just stay at home today. No one.
Who have we
us.
Got? The RMT Union. We're all staying at home, yay.
But as you say, the celebration videos were incredible. I think my favourite of them all was the fan who picked up his front door and threw it.
Mm, that looked like a heavy front door.
Yes. Yeah, that was a big one.
Solid oak, that. Yeah. 100%.
It wasn't a cheap Wix job, was it?
No.
It was like a proper, like, protective door. My favourite
was fire door, that one.
My favourite was, like, a lot of lads, like, arms, elbows, jumping around, limbs, I think they call it, in the room. And then a man just goes outside next to some motorcycles and fires off a Kalashnikov into the air.
That's really raised the bar for celebrations.
It really does. You sort of look at Fulham with their little clappers and you're like, oh, that's better, isn't it? That's better than all those 1950s rattles.
No pressure, England, for Friday night, by the way. But we're expecting some serious fireworks.
Munitions,
yeah. Slightly worrying, isn't it? The celebrations were amazing. I loved as well. Did you see the one where outside the stadium, when the Saudi Arabian fans obviously just carried on celebrating, they all did the
Sue. Yeah. Blocks and thobs. And there was a black guy who took his thob off and he's wearing like a really like bright white vest. And I was like, oh, you look so fucking cool.
There were some Saudi fans with their Saudi shirts on and printed on the back, Messi 0 World Cups as well.
I saw that.
Wow, that's some shithousery.
That is prepping.
Talking of shithousery, when the winning goal went in, one of the Saudi players, rather than celebrating with his teammates, actually ran over to Messi and like tapped him and went, you're not going to win.
Yeah. I love it. I love that attitude. Yeah. That's
fucking
amazing. That is balls.
Balls of that. There was still another 20 minutes of the game to go.
Loved it.
He's obviously had on football. He's loving it.
Actually, there's more than 20 minutes still. There was like half an hour left. It's incredible. Absolutely amazing. And what about the winning goal? I think this is what makes it so spectacular, is that that goal was amazing. I know that the defenders didn't get tight enough to him.
No.
He did have enough. He had space to be able to pull it off. But what a goal and what a finish.
It was pure adrenaline because it was just a little scramble in the box, but he managed to find some control and you could just see his whole body went into that effort. And it was an absolutely beautiful finish. It really was.
Yeah, and I think Marcus Bella posted on the WhatsApp group the halftime team talk from Half Renard. From one of his blogs that he writes, Marcus Speller's Half an Hard Love blog, it was really interesting, sort of like seeing the translators kind of up the intensity at halftime. Like so, like when Half an Hard goes up and starts shouting, the translators also do that because you don't always see that with translators inside in a managerial setup. I mean, listen, I watched half of it, but then I had to go to Boots for a clear blue pregnancy test because I thought I was pregnant watching Half an Hard do that. The man is, I mean, just he just gives nobody any hope, does he, really? I mean,
it's intimidating, isn't it?
Intimidatingly French and handsome and wow.
Yeah, he's impeccably turned out.
Yeah.
Coach by day, Ralph Lauren model by night.
You know, Jack French emailed in, one of our lovely listeners, and said, I can't really explain this, but Saudi Arabia's manager, Hervé Renard, looks like what Robbie Savage thinks he looks like.
And we'll allow you not to comment, Jules, because you do work very closely with the great man. But pretty much.
yeah,
it did tickle me. That did make me laugh, not going to lie. I think he looks a little bit like, do you remember on, what was the show called? Was it Embarrassing Bodies? The TV doctor.
Oh, the doctor. Yes, he does.
The TV doctor.
It was the TV doctor. Didn't he accuse, he went on Twitter and for some reason he got involved in accusing, I think it was Arlene Foster. Of having an affair. It was really weird.
Oh, really?
Wow. And she hadn't. And then so she sued him and he was like, he had to pay like something like $100,000 out of his own money. And so he started like a Just Fund Me, giving thing to people who want free speech or something. I think that was the case. I think that was the doctor. Finn, can you check that out, please? Otherwise, I'll edit it. Because I'm not getting fucking done for $100,000. But it was just funny that it was just a bit of a mess, really.
And now
I don't know why he got involved.
Yeah, now he's Arabia manager. Taking them to their most famous win at a World Cup.
It was Claude Leroy's protégé.
Yeah, I mean, the time wasting at the end as well from Saudi Arabia was exactly as you want to see it, you know, hiding the balls when they came up the side of the pit.
Yeah.
That is exactly what you want to see.
Yeah, and it's a free hit for Argentina, really. I mean, I think because of what time it was in Argentina, it felt a little bit like, and it sounds like by all indications that the press are weirdly sanguine about this particular result. They don't seem to be that concerned about it. But I think it's just simply because it was like, what was it, 8 o'clock in the morning? It felt like when David Sim got lobbed by Ronaldinho in the World Cup. I was just like, I'm going back to bed. It didn't happen. So it's kind of a bit of a free hit, really.
I think this unbeaten record that Argentina had coming in has really hung over them. And if you look at the Argentinian press in general, speaking to their fans before the tournament, they were wanting it to end before the tournament because they felt it would hang over them too much. And I mean, I was looking at Messi's comments yesterday, and you're right, quite sanguine about it. And he was just like, look, the collective, the group has got us here, we'll rebound from this. So he said, because I think everybody expects the toys to come out the pram sometimes with Messi, and you know, to get his little dictator vibes on it. As people like to refer to him, you know, just going, right, I want him out the team, him out the team, him out the team, we need him. Oh, that coach as well. I tell you what, if you do that again, you're gone as well. Yeah. But it seems quite calm for now.
Yeah, I think it's, when you talk about that unbeaten run, 36 matches coming into this World Cup, and obviously with it being probably Messi's last World Cup, he's already said it's probably his last chance to go on and win a World Cup. That's what makes this result even more remarkable, and it's really hit Argentina hard, hasn't it? This isn't a match that they were expecting to lose, not even expecting to draw. Miguel Delaney said on Twitter, there was an Argentine journalist in the mix zone in tears after the game. I mean, they're literally crying over this result.
I mean, there was also a Saudi fan crying and somebody had interviewed him and said, I'm just so, I think it was a Saudi fan, and somebody says, I'm just so hungover.
Yeah, that was good.
He wasn't even emotional, he's just hungover.
So how do we now reflect on what we've seen from Argentina in that first game? Because in fairness to them, and I know this is how football works, but in the first half they did have a few pretty decent opportunities. They had the ball in the back of the net. I think they had like two or three goals ruled out for offside.
It's your high line.
They were pretty close. Yeah. They were close, but they were still factually offside. Mm. How are we feeling about them now? Because they're still one of the tournament favourites. Can they still turn this around and go on and win it?
It's going to be very interesting to see how teams set up against them. Because I think teams who came into this tournament said, when we play Argentina, we're going to sit back two deep lines, defending, and basically just like it's the final minute all game. But now I wonder if Saudi have put the blueprint out and people's going to be like, all right, do we press these guys? Do we restrict them from playing? And Messi barely had any time to get his head up, get on the swivel, look around, make things happen, open up the field. He couldn't do that because the Saudis are pressed up so high. So it'll be interesting to see if the teams, you know, do that or whether they do sit back. But there's an added pressure in Argentina now. It must be crazy. Mm. And also, there's talk of changes as well. You know, I mean, the potential changes should happen. I mean, we were discussing just before we came on about Lisandro Martinez, for instance.
Yeah.
There was a lot of shocks about that, you know, that he wasn't starting. But if you look through qualification, they'd kept Otamendi in. And that's the thing with Argentina. They sometimes, down the years, have made these decisions, you know, where people are on form, maybe for their club, but there's a certain, you know, pattern that they have when they are qualifying. So it doesn't change.
I was surprised by the Martinez not starting news because, for me, right now, he's probably up there as one of the best centre-halves in the world.
I think he's top five at the moment. He's definitely been top five, I think, before coming into this World Cup. And Enzo Fernandez, who came on later, who's been outstanding for Benfica as well, and he was another one. And you look at that midfield, it's a little bit flat. I thought Rodrigo de Paul was terrible. And there's going to be a lot of calls for Enzo, I imagine, and Lisandro both to come in.
Mm. Well, you know what I think, Pete? I think Saudi Arabia are going to go on and win it now. Because you know why? The last three teams to beat Argentina at the World Cup have gone on to win it or reach the final. Germany in 2014, France in 2018, and Croatia in 2018.
Yeah, I mean...
What about that?
I would say different sides.
Hey!
Hey!
Give her
my
nuts.
Stats. They're my stats.
Give
I brought.
Give them some credit. We have also had... an email, haven't we, Pete, from Dimmy on the subject of the very tall Dutch goalkeeper, Andreas Noppert, from yesterday. We were talking about how tall he was, 6'8".
Yeah, Dimmy says, does anyone remember Gary Ortega's red card against Edwin van der Sar in the 1998 World Cup? Ortega basically headbutted van der Sar by jumping upwards under his chin, like an uppercut headbutt. Which player would you like most to see this do the same thing to the colossal 6'8" Dutch keeper, Andreas Noppert? For me, I'd like to see someone properly shot like Messi try it and have to really jump. Apparently, the shortest player at the tournament was Morocco and QPR midfielder Ilias Chair at 5'2".
Oh, that's 5'2". Me. That's my height.
Is that you?
I didn't know Ilias Chair was 5'2".
But I mean, you're allowed heels and he isn't.
My feet don't touch the floor when I sit in these Ramble studio chairs.
Lisandro Martinez is going to tower over him. He hasn't said that much.
Yeah, very true. Right, get in touch with us. Show at footballramble.com or tweet at footballramble. Mm-hmm. What a start to the day that was yesterday.
Yes.
And then we finished the day with France beating Australia by 4-1. But that is not how the game began. Australia took the lead through Goodwin in the 9th minute. And at that point, I thought... fuck off. This can't happen twice in a day. Surely not.
Yeah, everyone was thinking the same. They were like, oh my God, are we going to get this again? And there was already a few doubts about the French side as well. So that start, it was, it was interesting.
The two goals shipped against Iran, I was like, that looks good. That looks fucking great.
It was an amazing start. I mean, and Australia just looked like they completely cut France's defence. I mean, I don't know what Pavard was doing. You just didn't even see him there, did he?
It was bizarre. And Aaron Moy pulling the strings in midfield there.
Go on, former Brighton boy.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, I thought I'd get
Don't worry. Now. Everyone was like just calling him Celtic. And I was like, come on now. I'll give him some credit. He played at Brighton as well. A few Aussies in that team that used to play at Brighton. Yeah. Matty Ryan as well. He didn't have the best game. But,
There was a great energy from Australia to start with. And then, funnily enough, the injury to Lucas Hernandez kind of switched it over and stalled their momentum. And Theo Hernandez came in and I think he really changed the game down the side. He really pulled Australia apart. I think they were looking to maybe sit in, but the fact that France were really spreading the ball out to Theo, who was making some incredible runs around the side, just changed the momentum.
There was a moment, wasn't there, where him and Giroud linked up and Giroud came really close to scoring. It would have been the perfect Milan link up, wouldn't it? It didn't quite happen. However, Olivier Giroud has now equaled the all-time goal-scoring record for France. He's on 51 goals with Thierry Henry. That's pretty remarkable, especially, Pete, when you consider that, you know, Benzema probably would have started this game had he been fit. Would Giroud have started?
Yeah.
Probably not, but... that is an amazing record to achieve.
I'm so pleased for...
he's my boo-boo-boo-boo. Boo, he's my baba. He's my boo-boo-boo-boo. Come on, England.
Not the come on, England. Come on, France.
I was wondering how long it would take to play that today.
It took about 15 minutes.
For anyone who wants to know, please explain to people what that is.
It's just some twerp.
You've now made me sick twice in one day.
He's some twerp from... some cringy twerp from TikTok who... who the youth seem to think is problematic in certain ways, and he's written a beautiful England song for all of us to enjoy. But I can't get he's my boo boo, he's my boo 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 out of my head.
Is Olivier Giroud your boo boo?
Oh, of course he is. He's everyone's boo boo. He's the nation's boo boo, which happens to be the other nation, France. I'm so happy for him, and he's one of those kind of strikers who, like, these kind of footballers, and you see that quite a lot in Germany in their kind of record goal table. Like, they sort of these records sneak up on players a little bit, and it's like, oh, the fuck has he done that? It's like, it's Olivier Giroud, but he's fucking incredible. He's right place, right time. He's just so instinctual as a footballer. I love it.
Is it slightly tempered by the fact that his strike partner is going to destroy it within the next few years?
That's why he wants to play. Yeah. That's why he wanted to play every minute he got yesterday afternoon.
What is enjoyable is that he actually done that on the day that he also broke another record by becoming Francis' oldest ever player. I said Francis there, like it was Francis the man, like the person. France's oldest World Cup player at 36 years old and 53 days.
He's still doing it.
He's still doing it, and he's still looking good as well.
Amazing, isn't it? I mean, what a player he is. The things he's achieved. He's quite underrated, isn't he?
Yeah, still the record goal scorer for France, and he's still underrated. And I believe he did the voice for Dr. Ock, I think, in the French dub of the Spider-Man film.
What? Are you joking?
He's a voice actor of some repute. There was a Spider-Man. The Spider-Man cartoons. I think he played either like the Silver Surfer or some character. He did the dub for the French version.
I'd love to hear Kate Mason's version of that.
Spider-Man.
After she did the Hello Olivier when she spoke to him. Put on special French accent, didn't she? But very special day for him. Also on the score sheet for France yesterday was Kylian Mbappe, who was in a filthy mood on the pitch.
Dirty.
I mean, some of the stuff he was doing, he's brilliant to watch. And we were saying this a minute ago when we were chatting about him, is that he was so good, yet he was nowhere even near his best in the game. He missed a couple of sitters.
There's a lot more to come from him. And there's just a switch that he has when he sees something. He's kind of like, all right, I'm going to go for it now. He's got that, you know, Ronaldo R9 vibe about him, in terms of he can just turn on the jets and just completely burst past you. Even if somebody's got a few yards ahead of you, he can just, it's incredible the ability to turn it on where he has.
And playing against Nathaniel Atkinson, it was like watching a Ferrari doing donuts around a caveman. Going bewildered caveman at that, going, I'm playing Kilmarnock next month. That's the next match in the old Scottish League.
Yeah, spare a thought for him. It was
a difficult afternoon.
You must literally be like, oh, come on, don't take the piss out of me, mate. Everyone's watching this. Do you know what I mean? But he was so fun to... What I love about Mbappe when you watch him is that you can tell he's out there actually enjoying it as well. Like, he's having fun. When he missed that sitter, the one that he should have scored, he sort of just laughed about it because he's like, I'll get a few more chances like that.
I remember chatting to Andy Brassel about this, and he just said Mbappe is the biggest football nerd ever. He just loves football. He watches a lot of football. Right. He just really, really enjoys it. And like you say, you can tell when he plays the game. And this whole team, I think, is just buzzing around him, and all the parts just look nicely from that game, like falling into place for him. Griezmann's graft and work ethic is extraordinary. Like, he must have played about three or four positions. He was playing defensive midfield at one point. And then he's there going into the box as well. And there's a lot of like really, really talented players around Mbappe. So he's got Theo, he's got Griezmann, he's got Olivier Giroud. You know, it's setting up nicely him.
Ollie Giroux, I love that you nicknamed him. Do you think so far from what we've seen, England and France, the teams to beat, Pete, are they the best two performers so far?
I think when you look at how many sort of big misses France have had, and they're still turning in performances like that with such arrogance and and guile and speed and accuracy, and Jesus Christ, yes. Jules.
They've both beaten like weak opposition in front of them. Like, you,
but
you
put
know,
them away, it, yeah.
Yeah, really put them away in the manner that they should. You can only beat what's put in front of you, but they did so, I think, in style. Mm. So we'll wait for tougher tests.
One positive for Australia. Obviously, they scored the goal, which was a nice moment for them, gave them a bit of belief for the time being. But also another positive, former Hibs and Nottingham Forest striker Jason Cummings, a.k.a. the cum dog, came on in the second half.
Be careful when you Google that one.
Please allow me to explain.
Oh, don't. Because I don't know why people worry. Like, it's completely innocent.
When we were talking about this yesterday, I actually said, dare I Google this? And I did. And thankfully, it came up with football stuff. This is what Jason Cummings said. He said, it was my wrestling nickname. I wrestled some guy called Grado. He was a wrestler in Scotland. And he came in when I was at Hibs. He came in and he was giving it the big un. So I chucked on the spandex, put cum dog on the chest, and I battered him. The rest was history. Everyone's called me cum dog ever since then, but now I'm in Australia. Everyone calls me the cum dingo. So the cum dog or cum dingo, no problem.
Yeah, Jason Cummings tweeted April 18th, 2017 to Grado, the other wrestler. Oi, Grado, it's yourself, cum dog. Think you can eat lunch in my training centre? Think again, brother. Muscle emoji, cum dog.
It's incredible. He's like something out of like an American like frat movie or something. Yeah. Like, he's like if there's a movie of him, Zac Efron is going to play him.
Yeah. Oh, good stuff. Cum dog.
Cum dog.
By the way, news update. Giroux was the Green Goblin in Spider-Man.
Sorry.
Spider-Man New Generation 2018. There you go. Lovely stuff.
There you go. Green Goblin. Right. Green Goblin, what I said, Dr. Ock. There's still baddies in the Spider-Man universe, surely.
Same thing. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll, I promise you, it's going to be interesting to talk about the two other games from yesterday that were goalless draws. And we'll also talk about a massive day in Manchester.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I heard Maguire talking during the week. He was like a robot. He was like,
apologies to the fans. Dude,
like, no emotion behind it.
Please, the fans.
Brilliant stuff. Roy Keane and Graham Souness, did you check out
scrap, yeah.
their little scrap yesterday on ITV?
Oh, it was enjoyable, yeah.
Wonderfully marshalled by Woodsy. It was great, wasn't it? Yeah, they were arguing over whether it was a penalty or wasn't a penalty. I mean...
It's kind of their bread and butter, though, isn't it?
I enjoyed the argument, though.
Yeah. The producers would have been loving it.
Yeah.
They would just be like, oh.
Cut it up. Prep the... Prep Adobe Premiere. Let's get it up on now. Come on.
Right, before we get into the rest of yesterday's games, it's time now for Betfair's popular Bet Builder. Now, when you Betfair on the World Cup, you can use Betfair's handy app to place your bet builders and you'll get access to some pretty decent handouts as well. Every day this week, you can get a completely free £2 bet builder on any World Cup match. So pick any match this week and you can place a £2 bet builder completely free. Lovely. We're here to place our very own one. So for today's big game, Belgium against Canada, which is today's late kickoff. Pete, you're up first. What are you going for, mate?
Canada here for a long time, not a good time. So I think it's going to be under 3.5 goals.
Mm. David?
I'm going for both teams to score. I think there's goals in both teams. I like my boy Jonathan David from Canada. He, you know, I think we can see him get a few at this tournament. And Belgium, come on, we all know about their attacking talent.
Yeah. Okay. Marcus has picked this.
I am tipping Belgium to win the match. It's an obvious thing to say, but that's why I'm saying it. Go Belgium.
Thank you, Marcus. And I have gone for something fairly obvious as well. Me and Marcus like to play things safe. I've gone for KDB to score or assist.
Okay, yes, yeah, smoothing out all the selections. I like it.
I did want to go for something Leandro Trossard-esque, yes, but basically I was told to piss off. So
talked out of it.
Hopefully we'll win by me not picking something Leo Trossard. Right, a £5 bet on this popular bet builder will return £57.17. If we win, all that money will go to Prostate Cancer UK. And remember, you can place a £2 bet builder on this game or any game this week for that matter absolutely free. Maximum one free £2 bet per customer per day, and it applies to any bet builder on any World Cup game from the 20th to the 26th of November. Minimum combined odds 1.5. Eligibility criteria and terms and conditions apply. For more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org. Right, let's talk about the other two games from yesterday, both of them goalless draws. Let's start with the slightly better of the two, Denmark Tunisia. I actually picked Denmark as one of the dark horses, and I was kind of laughed at for that. I don't know your thoughts on that, David, because people are like, well, they got far in the Euros last year. How can they be dark horses? But no one's expecting them to win it, and that is what I meant by them being dark horses. But I was slightly let down yesterday.
Yeah, I was as well. I think there's an over-reliance, Christian Eriksen, Mikkel Damsgaard, who, of course, starred at that tournament, who was fantastic, hasn't really played that much at Brentford, so he came in a little bit rusty as well, I think. And I think Nadia Nadim, who's doing analysis on some game, who was great, by the way, she made a great point and she just said, this team are really going to struggle for goals. You got Kasper Dahlberg up there. He's not really prolific by any means. And I think that's going to be the case over this tournament. If they manage to score maybe more than two goals, I'll be stunned in this group.
Yeah, I think that's probably what the teams that are facing them are thinking, aren't they? You know, if we keep it tight, which is what Tunisia did. I actually thought Tunisia started the game really well. For the first 15, 20 minutes, I was like,
Yeah.
It surprised me a bit.
They're really buoyed by the crowd. The crowd was fantastic. There were so many Tunisians in there, and they made it a really, like, just a proper home game. And you could see the players were really, like, vibing off that, basically. They had some nice little chances, yeah.
One of the things I love is when defenders get really pumped about defending. It's like their moment, Pete, when they're like, I've just put in a fucking great tackle there and I'm going to celebrate it. And that's exactly what happened.
And you should do it. And I think, because defenders don't always get to be on the score sheet, they don't necessarily get to celebrate as much. And I think doing something like that and the motion where the tackle in question went straight through and he was just back on his feet in one fluid motion, I would give it the big one. Yeah. I'd pick up a chair, start throwing it around. I'd slap a photographer. I'm going to, come on! It's the World Cup, baby!
I'm glad you said that. I thought you were going to say something else there.
I don't know what I was going to say.
What you're normally like, Pete.
And I only vibe off you, so it's your fault.
Can't blame me.
I'm not like this when Marcus or anybody else does it.
I don't believe that.
Rubbish. Absolutely rubbish.
Denmark did have an opportunity. Andreas Cornelius managed to miss from like an inch out, didn't he? What an opportunity that was.
It kind of just sums things up, like what we've been saying about their attack. They're just not clinical. They're not ruthless. They do play some nice stuff. They've got some lovely technical footballers, but they just haven't got that cutting edge. And I think that's going to let them down here at the tournament.
Højbjerg, he's always a good character, though, for Denmark, isn't he? He interrupted a TV interview with two Danish players by walking across the set almost naked.
it's enough to
it's very
for a monocle to fall in your cup of tea, isn't it, really? Just, the man does not give a shit, and I'm here for it. But that's the kind of characters you need at the World Cup. You need people who are just being silly.
Yeah.
Idiots.
Absolutely. We love it. Mexico-Poland, also 0-0. Mm. Not as good as the 0-0 between Denmark and Tunisia. However, I still enjoyed it because there's something about watching Ochoa at a World Cup. Mm. It's like not a World Cup without him. And I assume he probably won't play the next one. Who knows? He's a goalkeeper. They go on forever, don't they? But he's, I think, 37 now. And every year at a World Cup, he just turns up, doesn't he? And he's always the story for Mexico.
I refuse to believe that he plays for a club. I think he just hibernates
right,
and then comes out every 4 years just to put this Superman performance on. And then after they go out, we'll not hear him again. But he'll be back in his 40s. I guarantee it.
Well, look, I mean, Mexico-Argentina is going to be the next match. And, you know, you're watching a side like the Saudis kind of play quite a high line. And that's the way it seems to you get a bit of change out of Argentina. So I think there's going to be a lot of one-on-ones. He's going to be taking the centre stage once again in the next match. So, 37 and he doesn't look it.
He doesn't at all. And what of Poland, though? Because Lewandowski, he's obviously a remarkable player and you probably watch a lot more of him than I do, David, but he's such an incredible goal scorer and has all these wonderful records in club football. But Will, when he retires, we all always look back and wonder why he's never really performed on the world stage for his country.
Yeah, there are the questions about it. Even at Bayern, you know, there were questions about him saying, where's the big goals in the big games? And they are lacking. If you really do analyse his career and you look at it, they are missing from where it is compared to the players that he gets compared with, your Benzema's, your Ronaldo's, your Messi's, who have all scored in big games, key moments. Lewandowski hasn't really got that many of those moments, and this really was a time. And also, it's one of those things where Poland have had at tournaments, these hoodoos. They just, I think they needed that to go in. They needed to win this game to get over that. But again, it was a case of them falling short. Yeah.
Mm. Interestingly, Marcelo Bielsa actually gave a lecture to the Polish national team on their past 50 games and compiled reports on 65 different players before the tournament.
Like
where have
a
we heard
hired
that
gun.
Where have like, we heard that?
It's like a hired gun sort of floating around. So I said, this is what you need to do. I've spent a lot of time crushing the data. Amazing.
Bielsa, you missed studying Ochoa and where he goes for his penalties. Missed a trick there.
I just feel for his poor wife, man. He's just going to be watching games or just random leagues. You know
just old VHSs he's got, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah.
Well, that team in the Albanian Premier League, you know, just going to do 70 games of
theirs. He's just constantly worried about how much hard drive space he's got. Like, he's just constantly going, I need another network-operated network space, hard drive space.
Black Friday is coming up, Marcelo. Yeah, get yourself a deep on a couple of new hard drives.
He's just down Curry's PC World, grabbing the Western Digitals by the fucking boatload, putting it in his bucket. Oh, I need more data. I need more space for my data.
So that's yesterday's games. It certainly did deliver. Day three at the World Cup, wow. Mm. Amazing. Saudi Arabia beating Argentina and then that brilliant performance from France. Couple of goalless draws, and then we finished the day with some huge news outside of the World Cup, both coming out of Manchester United. So a huge day in Manchester yesterday that is obviously spilling over into today as well as this news continues to develop. The first bit of news was, and it was something that we were all expecting. I didn't expect it then. I didn't expect the timing of this at all before Ronaldo's even kicked a ball at this World Cup, is that it has been confirmed by Manchester United that they have mutually agreed to terminate Cristiano Ronaldo's contract. So this is a mutual agreement between the player and the club. Ronaldo put out a statement saying, I love Manchester United and I love the fans. That will never, ever change. However, it feels like the right time for me to seek a new challenge. So this is the news that we're expecting to happen after that explosive interview with Piers Morgan that got released and drip-fed to the media over the last week or so. Did you expect this to happen now, though?
Definitely not now. I think I was, when the World Cup's over, if Portugal had gone out, perhaps, I think then. But the timing was really shocking. It was literally in the middle of a game as well. It wasn't the case of the day's games being over. So it's definitely the best solution for everybody. I think that's the most important part here. Everyone wins here, I think, especially Man United, because, you know, I think they've got big designs on the future. And this needed to be done first and foremost because it just felt like it was hanging over them, hanging over any progress. The timing of that interview was poor, I think, after Garnacho's little moment. I think this is great for them. And Ronaldo can start fresh now, and I'm sure you'll have a few offers from here and there.
They've moved quickly on this, haven't they? Because I think, as David pointed out there, I sort of expected that maybe this would be something that happened later on in the tournament when Portugal maybe were out of it and there was then no more focus on him. He wasn't going to be doing press conferences and having to do post-match interviews and stuff like that.
Right.
So the timing of it surprised me, but I like it from Manchester United. I like that this decision has been made, and it is now a fresh start, it feels, for Erik ten Hag at the club. After the World Cup, he can move forward with the team he has, and this was obviously an issue that needed to be resolved.
Yeah, I mean, the impetus and the impetus came from Manchester United, I think. It has to be how they've timed it. They could have chosen to sort of sit on it, you would presume, because they're the ones who hold the contract, you would say. So you're in a situation where it's fallen quite nicely for ten Hag. He can look like the hard guy, and he's sort of seeing off not only Cristiano Ronaldo, but looks like the chairman as well. Like, he looks like he's really in the driving seat. So it's really galvanised his powers in the squad. So, yeah, I mean, great stuff for both parties, like David said.
This feels like a real change in course as well. I think in the past few years, United have rewarded mediocrity. There's been some contracts handed out. There's been some players signed. There's been some players who have remained, and they shouldn't, quite frankly. And it looks like now that things are really, really starting to take place. And Ten Hag really has his fingerprints all over this, I think.
Yeah, you can see that he's a manager since he's come in, and it feels like for the first time in a really long time, someone's taking control of stuff at the club. We saw that from the beginning with the way all of this Ronaldo stuff has unfolded over the last few months.
And with Arteta performing like he did and getting rid of his own deadwood and underperforming last season, you would say, in certain moments, and the crowd and the media not necessarily getting on the back of Arteta as much as they would have done perhaps with the previous manager, Emery. You sort of look at this and sort of go, well, Ten Hag might just get a bit more rope. Like, he's made some big decisions. This thing takes a long time to sort of come round. They'll spend a bit of money in the summer, no doubt. And this can only be a good thing.
And timing-wise, the news about the Glazers yesterday was released then a couple of hours after the Ronaldo news was announced. And it, again, felt like another huge, momentous moment. For the fans of Manchester United, this is exactly what they've been wanting to hear for a really long time. We know about the protests. We know that they've been really unhappy with the ownership at the club for a really long time. And finally, it was announced yesterday that the Glazers have said they're considering selling the club as they, quote-unquote, explore strategic alternatives. A couple of months ago, Sir Jim Ratcliffe had shown an interest in buying the club. He's a British billionaire and showed that interest a couple of months ago, around the time that Chelsea were being bought by Todd Boehly, and all of that was happening a few months after that. But the Glazers told Sir Jim Ratcliffe that they weren't interested in selling the club. So I wonder what's changed in the last month and why now they've decided actually it's the time to do this.
I think fan pressure. I really do. I think it's been so constant. I don't think it's been as, you know, centralised as it has. I mean, I know they've had a few protests over the years, but it feels like Manchester United's fall from grace has kind of catapulted the fans to say, like, right, we're going to put more and more pressure on this. And I think they've probably had enough, and they've looked at it and go, is this really worthwhile? And also maybe looking at the changing of the club and what needs to be done. Maybe they've thought, I don't think we're the guys to do this. We're not the new guys to put in the new installations, to upgrade the training facility, to follow this new direction with the manager and the new players coming in as well. So I think they've maybe said, all right, maybe it is just like, we've done enough here. That's our job done. I think it will be a wholesale as well. Chelsea went for 2.5 billion when they went to Todd Boehly. I think there's talk, and I know in the initial Sky report, of 5 billion for Man United. So it'll be interesting to see who's actually going to be, you know, looking to buy the club. But I think it'll be a complete takeover when it does go through.
I wonder what despotic regime will pick this one up. I hear the Green Goblin has got deep pockets.
But he is unemployed now. Unemployed at a World Cup like Robson Kanu back in the Euros 2016. Fucking brilliant tournament that time, didn't he?
I love it, yeah. And I think you mentioned Gary Breen was another, didn't you?
Listen, Pete said on Twitter, he's basically Gary Breen.
Yeah, the Iberian Gary Breen.
He's going to have to play himself into a contract, that's all I'm saying. He's got to work real hard.
Good news for you though, Pete.
Good news for me.
Newcastle have ruled themselves out of having Ronaldo at the club.
I don't know any club that would think that this was a good idea at this point. Unless you were kind of one of those clubs that wanted to elevate. Like your Brightons, for example.
Piss off.
I think a Qatar or Saudi Arabia is. I mean, Sporting's been mentioned, but I just don't think Sporting can afford it unless he took him. So I think a Saudi or a Qatar, and you've got to remember, the Saudis are after a World Cup bid in a few years as well.
Right, okay.
Is this the sort of thing that would help them catapult them? They've already got Messi as an ambassador for that bid as well. So they could have Messi, Ronaldo as the ambassadors for their bid.
Right, okay. Money talks. Money talks.
I liked Vincent Kompany's reference to Burnley and Cristiano Ronaldo on the BBC yesterday. Gary Lineker said, would you take him at Burnley, Vincent? And he went, no, we like players that run.
Oh!
What I love about that, it's very Sean Dyche.
I want to see him in the freezing cold in a vest.
Very nice. I think that's where we'll end it today, boys. We're going to bring you a new episode of On the Continent tomorrow as well. Dot and Andy and Nikki Bandini will look back on the best of today's action, because there's some big hitters playing today. Germany and Spain involved. Also get over to our Instagram page at Football Ramble Daily for some of Andy's snaps at the Germany-Japan game. He's hopefully our boy Mitoma from Brighton gets to play for Japan today. So exciting, so fun to watch. Really looking forward to today's matches, and we will be back tomorrow to go through them all on the Continent. David, it's been a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Pete?
Has it not been a pleasure?
What a shitbag. Right, you having a bit of this? He's my bubba.
And this is why it is not a pleasure for
you.
But nice cardigan. Thanks Ta-da. For listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. See you soon.
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.